punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. And I'm Jimmy Clark. I'm in here all alone today. I had a great day yesterday with Carter and Jancy Ripetoe in here. As you guys know, Jancy comes in and sidekicks with me every now and then. And Kent Watkins was in here from SEI Agritech talking about the five armors of soil and cover crops. And with all this rain we're getting, might be a good year to put in cover crops and just put some armor on that soil. Right now it's 61 degrees, humidity is 86, winds out of the northeast at 8 miles an hour, and we're getting a lot of rain. Let's check out the rainfall totals on the Mesonet. I'm not 100% think it's totally accurate, but because there's spotty areas. But at the looks like Eric at the Mesonet, this is where the Mesonet is, 1.50, Elk City 2.4, Bessie 3.4, Butler 7.20, Weatherford almost 5 inches. That's according to the Mesonet, and that's at the stations, their weather stations. But in those areas, if you get in there and look at the colors, especially between Hammond and Thomas, according to my radar scope on my phone that costs money to have, it's crazy the amount of rains that some areas have got. There's areas out there around Wellington, Texas, and Memphis that's got anywhere from 6 to 12 inches of rain, and over there between Hammond and let's go Thomas, right south of Watonga, somewhere in that area, there's a pocket in there that it's saying on this deal here off the KFDR radar in Frederick, up to 15 inches plus. North of Arapahoe in that area, they've got anywhere from 10 to 15 inches. I don't know how accurate any of this is, but I know one of my buddies I was talking to on the phone last night, he said he was watching the weather, and one of the areas in that vicinity that I'm talking about, it got 11 inches last night. So anyway, around Cordell, looks like 4 inches. Deal City, Rocky in that area, 3 to 4 inches. The text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. If you got, let me know where you're at and how much rain you got. I really appreciate it. But there's just still that donut hole that I was talking about yesterday between Willow and Mangum and Granite and back towards Sandy Sanders. Now, they've got more rain since the show yesterday at noon, but there's still some pockets in there. Looks like they might just not got right at an inch. But anyway, what a great rain. Now we got flooding. The Wichita River is out of its banks, and I'm guessing towards Clinton and south of there. I hadn't got the update report, but Ray Jones from Canute reported last night that the Wichita River will be at the highest level it's been since 1977. And if any of you old-timers remember this, I was in high school in 77, and I remember the North Fork of the Red River over by Sayre on the I-40 bridge. The water was lapping over the top of those concrete barriers on the side. And I was thinking that was 1977. I know in the early 90s it got out, but back in 1977, I'm pretty sure that's when that was, and it makes sense with the Wichita River being crazy. Well, let me check. I looked this up, and bear with me as I look at this on my phone because the print's so fine. Let's start out with Foss Lake, and it is right as of before these rains started, it was about 3.5 foot low. Right now, it's at 3.25 below normal. And back here, the inflow is right now at 2,000 to 2,500 cubic feet per second coming in there off the Ouachita River above Foss Lake. And the lake has already risen from 1,638 elevation to it's at 1,639 elevation. So it's already come up a foot. Let's go to Lugert. It's one of my favorite ones to look at because I follow a lot because farmers irrigate out of it. It is, before this rain started, it is at 24.6 feet below normal. Now it's at 24.03, so it's come up a half a foot. They're not releasing any water out of either one of these lakes I'm talking about. The input coming into the Altus Lake, Luger Lake, whatever you want to call it, is gone crazy overnight. Since midnight last night, the flow of the Red River hit it about North Fork hit it about midnight. Normal inflow coming in has been around 200 cubic feet per second to 400 cubic feet per second. Since midnight, it has risen to 1,600 cubic feet per second. When I went over the river bridge at Sayre this morning, the new one there going into Sayre, it was rolling. It was still within its banks, but it was getting close to coming out because they've been getting some good rains out there in the Texas Panhandle. Also, I noticed, though, up there around Glacier and up there towards the Panhandle, they've got a half inch, but not too much, but man, below that, especially down there around Wellington and stuff, they've been getting hammered just like they have around Altus, or not Altus, but Wellington. And down there in the Tipton area and the Altus area, they've been getting some big rains too. They've over 5 inches. At my house, I got 3.7 inches or 3.6 inches. Over here where my girls are, over here west of Elk City, there was 3/4 of an inch dumped out of there yesterday. This morning, there was even 5 inches there. So almost 6 inches falling just on the west side of Elk City. I've heard people down south of Elk City got 4 inches. Some friends over around Canute, anywhere from 3 to 4 inches. So really good. We needed a pond filler. I think Greer County not been getting any of these big rains because I haven't been down there yet, but I got some insiders down there that keep me updated. Talked to Mr. Fite this morning down there, Theo, and he had 1.8 or 9, if I remember right, what he was saying, but none of it ran off. This rain has been soaking in really good. Lori Campbell, one of my favorite listeners, she said they've got, let me check out their text message, 7.5, so the, or not 7.5, 0.75, and my quail really like it. Oh man, you just made my day sending me a picture of the quail. Great, because I've been seeing a lot of quail myself, and a lot of other people have been selling quail. Just got a text in from a guy that says, Dad and I got racehorses out of stalls. I got the last horse out, and it was chest high, and he was sure glad to see me, and we swam out. And that was in 1977, so that had to be at Sayre. And anyway, it's a good deal. Let's get to see what's coming up on the text line. Taylor, right here south of Elk City. We got 3.3 inches, and I know Elk Creek is out of its banks down there. Teresa Clark, that lives down there south of Triggers down in there, she sent pictures, and Elk Creek was way out of its banks down there. And then this one won't, here we go. Bear with me on this today. I'm going to be a little radical getting all this. Where was this at? Whoever sent me the pictures in, please tell me where that's at. Oh, here we go. I live 3 miles east of Custer, and we're in that pocket of rain. So can you tell me, please, how much rain you actually got? Is this radars? Are these measuring deals crazy or what? So anyway, let me know how much you got there. 6 miles south of Custer City, 8.6 inches. North side of Elk City, near the cemetery, I received 5.5 inches of rain yesterday and overnight. And it just come another rain through here. So, anyway, we've gone from severe drought to flooding. And too wet to do anything on the farm. Just, it's Oklahoma. I guess we're used to it. So anyway, appreciate all the texts. Keep them coming in. So my radar scope must not be off too much, because he had 8.6 inches south of Custer City. So that's true. Yeah, 1977 or 78, worst out bridges northwest of Cheyenne. Yesterday, Cheyenne had 4.2. Northwest of Cheyenne had 1.5 inches. And then the person that sent me the pictures, yes, between 10 and 15 inches of rain in the last 3 days. How crazy is that? I mean, if the ponds are full, if the dams are still there, that's for definitely sure. Anyway, keep your texts coming in, because people want to know what's going on in the areas. Like I said, I don't know if somebody's over there at Clinton or south of Clinton along the Ouachita River. Is it out of its banks? Because I haven't seen anything on social media or anything else on there. I'm assuming it is, because it's a lot of that water coming from Hammond and Custer City. And well, not necessarily Hammond's going into Foss, but anything below Foss Dam around Stafford and Clinton in that area, see if it's coming in. Well, let's check out the markets real quick. Let me update them. And here we go. Live cattle, everything's up today. And feeder cattle for August and September are up in the 170s now. Great news here. Oil's up, obviously, but live cattle for June is 133.65, up 0.85. August is 134.27, up 1.37. October is 139.85, up 1.95. And December is 145.87, up 2.125. Feeder cattle, August, 173.1, up 3.37. Feeder cattle for September, 175.60, up 3.2. Lean hogs, June, 110.87, July, 1305, and August, 110.72. Cotton is down today. It's at 136.06. And what else we got here? Oh, sugar's down again, Mr. Silk. But anyway, let's check out the live grain cash grain prices, not live, but the cash grain prices. Come on, get over there. There we go. Hard red winter wheat is up at 1074 a bushel. Corn is up at 763. Milo's down a little bit, 719. And soybeans is at $16.59. And there's your deal. Well, let's see what's causing all that. Wheat futures for higher and overnight trading as talks concerning Ukraine grain exports dragged on. The United Nations has been saying for the past few weeks that it was in talks with several countries to move grain exports from Ukraine port cities that have been under siege by the Russian forces to the open market. Since then, the Russian president, Mr. Putin, said he would be minimal to allowing grain shipments from Ukraine through Moscow in recent days. We're going to take the grain to Russia and then we'll ship it where we want to. That's what is going on. Ukrainian officials, however, have said that not only is Russia blocking grain shipments, it had intentionally aimed to make worse food shortages worldwide in a bid to destabilize the global economy. The expectation that this might happen in the foreseeable future is already causing wheat futures to fall noticeably. But in a note to clients this morning, because its ports have been blockaded for a good 3 months, Ukraine still has ample grain stocks earmarked for export. Steel prices have been falling since mid-May on prospects that Ukraine grain will flood the world market once a deal has been reached. But thus far, it's been a lot of talk with no action. It's unlikely that a decision on the resumption of Ukrainian grain shipments is imminent. He said, wheat futures for July delivery rose 4.5 cents to $10.92 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures gained 8 cents to $11.73 a bushel. Corn and soybean futures also were higher overnight on prospects for some rain in Central Plains that could keep farmers from planting their fields from heading to the finish line. About 86% of the U.S. corn crop was planted as of Sunday, and 66% of soybeans were in the ground, according to the data from the USDA. After being behind most of the year, producers have finally caught up with the respective five-year prior average of 87% and 67% for corns and beans. Corn futures rose 4 cents to $7.35 a bushel. Soybeans for July delivery, 9.5 cents to $16.99.75 a bushel in overnight trading. The Southern Plains rain, is it too late to ease some of the drought pain? It wasn't the worst week in terms of moisture for the Southern Plains, where the hard red winter wheat crop is growing, according to the weather data from the USDA. About a half inch of rain fell in parts of the Southern Plains in the last 7 days. This was through May 28th, according to the USDA. Now, that has changed dramatically in the last few days, but like I said earlier this week on the show, this rain was too late to help this crop here. Precipitation was sparse but beneficial through western Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles and western Oklahoma, where the bulk of the crop is grown. The agency said, still, it's likely was a case of too little, too late for some wheat fields. In the drought-affected areas of central and southern plains, rain greatly aided rangeland pastures and summer crops, but arrived largely way too late to benefit the winter wheat. Pastures and rangeland conditions in Kansas, the biggest producer of winter wheat in the U.S., was 37% good or excellent as of May 29th, up from 30% a week earlier. The USDA said in a separate report, in Oklahoma, the second largest grower of winter varieties, 35% earned top ratings versus only 31% 7 days earlier. Yeah, that's what I've been saying. And it's too late. It's too late. About 72% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was headed as of Sunday, just behind the prior five-year average of 76%, according to the data from the USDA. About 29% of the crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week, which actually was up from 28% a week earlier and way behind the 48% that received top ratings a year ago. The entire Texas Panhandle is seeing extreme drought, the worst possible rating, while the Oklahoma Panhandle is suffering from severe drought, the second worst rating, according to the data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Severe weather is expected to rumble through parts of the central Corn Belt today, with storms stretching from southern Oklahoma northeast into Illinois, according to the National Weather Service. Flood warnings have been issued for southeastern Kansas and north central Missouri as river and streams overran their banks. The Mississippi River at Hannibal, Missouri was at 17.1 feet late Wednesday and was likely to rise to 17.4 feet this morning. Flood stage is 17 feet. Further north in western South Dakota, meanwhile, isolated thunderstorms are possible through late tonight with no severe weather in that forecast. Well, I communicated a little via social media last night with one of my friends. We used to work in the oil field together. He farms down there around Sentinel, and I seen where he'd been trying to get some wheat combined before that storm hit the other night. He said last year the same field tested 62 on the wheat and averaged 60 bushels. This year it's testing 60 and it's averaging 25 bushels. So that shows you, and that's pretty good. I didn't know if any of the wheat was going to average that kind of rate around here, but hey, 25 bushels is better than nothing. But anyway, that shows you the differences going on in the real world out here with the drought conditions that we've been having going on. And I'm not saying the drought's over by no means, but we get a lot of rain. So anyway, when I come back, we're going to talk some cattle, grain. We're just going to talk ag. Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
The first time I ever saw a flyer for XIT Auctions, I didn't know how to pronounce it. I called it Exit Auctions, and I said it on air while hosting Tradio, which made it pretty embarrassing. Aubrey Latham had to call up here at the station and make sure I knew how to say it correctly. XIT is moving a lot of property and a lot of farm equipment. For all the info, go to their website, xitauctions.com. xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living, that's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets, he took them, and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He came back to the office, was signed all the papers, and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We strive in our cow herd for high-efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Come on, weather. Come on. Internet slow. 63 degrees. Rainfall in Elk City as of today, I guess since midnight, 1 inch. 75% humidity. Air's getting drier out there, so hopefully the storms go away for now and come back later. I'm not going to gripe about rain. Never will you hear me gripe about rain. But enough is enough, so save some for next week. East-northeast winds at 9 miles an hour. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you. I will tell you it has changed. Yesterday it was 20 and 30% chance of rain. Tonight all the way through Friday. Now we have 40% chance of rain tonight, tomorrow, next day, and Saturday. So anyway, things are switching, but this cool weather is nice. You can't beat this for June. I'm sorry. I like cool weather. I like going out and checking things out with a hoodie on when it's raining, the wind's blowing. I just like it. Sorry. Let's see here. We have some updates for you. 7 inches at Haggard Road west of Clinton, and the Worstall River is out of its bank. Old River Bridge sent me a picture of the Old River Bridge at Sayre, and that looks like the bridge that was, that doesn't look like the bridge that was over I-40. That must have been on Route 66, I'm guessing, because I remember it, that barrier along the, on I-40 anyway in 1977, it was solid concrete through there. It wasn't a banister bridge like that one. And another listener texts in, the Worstall River Bridge is a river is out of its banks under the bridge of Highway 183. And what else we got? And it's raining again in Sayre. So we got that going on. All right, let's check out. I got some things to go over with you guys to update you on. First of all, I got some results from the Hobart Stockyards yesterday from their livestock sale. Let me get to my pictures. And there it is. Nope, that's a Where is that at? There it is. Yesterday, I don't know how many head they had there, but steers weighing 400 in the 400 to 500 range, 457 was bringing, high was 196, average was 181. And 563 weights was, whoa, phone was acting quicker than I was. 157, 638 was 144. 799 or 716 was 139, and then on the heifers we got some that weighed 334 brought $1.60, and 547 is bringing $1.42. Looks like the animals, the steers and the heifers, are off a little bit. And then cows weighing 1,000 and over, average weight 1240, brought 87.75. There's slaughter cows and bulls still doing really good. Pairs were bringing up to 1525, and bulls 1,000 pounds and over, average weight 1902, brought up to $1.10 per pound. So there's your results from the Hobart Stockyards yesterday. And Ian, we got one thing of the ag booster from Sayre gave me a ring this morning and wanted me to let you guys know that they're trying to raise some money for the ag account there. This is the second annual Sayre Ag Boosters Golf Scramble. They're looking for hole sponsors. This tournament will be June 11th, Saturday, at the Sayre Golf Course. It's $400 per team or $100 per person. Registration's at 8:30, tee time's at 9 o'clock. Call Melissa at 580-729-8021 or Katie at 580-374-1452. There is limited cart rental over there, so get your name in the hat for sure. They're going to have hole-in-one prizes on the par threes and got it going on. Please help your ag boosters out over at Sayre. Get you a golf team, get it together. If you don't have a whole team, I'm sure they can get you hooked up with somebody, but you need to call them. Or for more information, just call the Sayre Golf Course, and they'll get you directed in the right way. All right, what else we got here? Clinton Farmers Market, weather permitting, opens up today. They're at Engelmans Park on 6th and Frisco. 5 p.m., weather permitting. Farmers markets are opening up. It's my favorite time of the year. Man, this natural rain has done my plants so much good, so much better than just normal water. And anyway, this morning, they look like they were happy. So anyway, thank the Lord for our rain that we got, and more to come, it looks like. Well, I ran a little long on my first segment, so I'm going to take a break here, and we'll come back. And we'll talk some cattle and ag. Be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 23rd. 1,503 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 337 brought 215. 5 at 460 brought 173. 4 at 691 brought 154. 56 at 809 brought 154. 61 at 882 brought 144.25. 13 head of heifers at 325 brought 169.25. 4 at 494 brought 146. 2 at 570 brought 140. 24 at 851 brought 137. 9 at 1033 brought 120. Butcher cows were 35 to 86. Butcher bulls brought 75 to 115.50. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
If you guys hear some weird noise here in a minute, don't panic. It's me trying to get rid of a fly that's buzzing me during the show. I hate them. I hate one in the truck. I'll stop and I'll machine gun the inside of that thing and get that fly out of there. They drive me nuts. 63 degrees. Winds are out of the northeast, 10 miles an hour with gusts up to 15 now. And humidity's still dropping. It's at 77% now, so it's drying up out there. The air's drying up just a little bit. I was listening to the Randy's Home Hobart Stockyards commercial there for a second. Sorry about that commercial. And I remembered. This Saturday will be the first Saturday of the month at the Hobart Stockyard for the sheep and goat sale. Also, it's 11 a.m. And I want to remind you that they won't have one in July, so they're having two in June, first weekend and the last weekend. So put that on your calendar if you're going to those sales. First weekend and the second weekend, and there will not be a sale in July at the Hobart Stockyards. Well, speaking of sheep and goat, this is kind of an interesting story. The sheep herders in the United States West have banded together to sue their employers, accusing them of operating an illegal cartel that artificially suppresses their wages, according to court documents filed Wednesday in Nevada. The case could have implications for how antitrust laws are applied to labor markets, according to legal experts, as the Biden administration pushes for greater competition in every sector of the economy. The suit alleges the ranches coordinated through the Western Range Association, a ranching trade group, to suppress sheep herder wages and avoid competing for labor. Herders applied to jobs through the WRA, which then assigns them to ranches, leaving no room for herders to negotiate or shop around among ranches, the complaint said. The arrangement violates the Sherman Act, a 130-year-old antitrust law that prohibits wage-fixing agreements amongst employers, the suit allowed. Even workers who made some of the lowest wages in our economy should be able to benefit from fair competition that our antitrust laws ensure. Ellie Jane Winograd, I hope I said that right, Winograd, anyway, WRA's general counsel said the suit's allegations appeared to lack merit, but that the group could not comment in more detail. Sheep herders are typically men from rural Peru who come to the United States on agriculture H-2A visas and live in isolated areas, and I've met some of them, and they are isolated. According to the complaint, their wages have stagnated even as pay for other agriculture labor has risen in recent years. An earlier version of the suit was dismissed by the U.S. Court of Appeals from the Tenth Circuit in 2017 because the court said herders had not significantly proven collusion. Several antitrust experts have argued the case was wrongly decided. There are around 100,000 sheep farms in the United States that sell about $750 million worth of sheep, lambs, and wool annually, according to the Department of Agriculture. So there's your sheep herder tip of the day. I've met some of these sheep herders up in the mountains when I go elk hunting up there in Colorado around Creed. And it's usually that one was there for three or four different years that I went up in there. But a really cool guy. And elk hunting, didn't bother him, didn't bother his dogs, didn't bother him. Really nice guy, and he was from Peru. Honestly, don't remember his name. But anyway, there's a lot of great sheep herders that come from Peru to come up here and do that. So anyway, there is your sheep story of the week. Let's see here. We got here we go. Hang on. Oh, that bridge that the people sent to me, the person sent to me, it was on the west side of Sarah over there by Sarah Crop. I'm believing it right there by the tracks, and some of it's still there. When that one washed away, they built the one coming south out of Sarah, and that's the one they just got the rebuilding and opening last year. So that makes that a lot better there. Anyway, genetics. Genetic merit should matter more, while hide color should matter less, according to a recent survey conducted by the Red Angus Association of America. Results show cattle feeders and other industry stakeholders would like to see the feeder cattle market become more objective in its pricing methods. Recipients of this survey said they believe the current hide color emphasis has endured beyond its point and the greatest benefits and needs need to be replaced. And I'm guessing, without even reading any further, it's genetics. Those results portray the segment of the cattle feeding sector and many others involved in the beef industry. According to Tom Brink, the RAAA CEO and administrator of the survey, the logic of moving into the direction they desire certainly makes sense. A market that rewards objective value characteristics above superficial traits sends a strong signal for real improvement in the feeder cattle quality and value. There is recognition by those surveyed that the market emphasis on a black hide did help the beef industry improve big time, leading to higher quality feeder cattle. However, survey data indicates 92% want changes for the future. Price discovery using specific genetic information on individual groups on the feeder cattle can lead the industry in the direction and be consistent a better feeder and have better feeder cattle quality in the years ahead. And it's preferred over hide color for that purpose. Going in that direction of genetics would be beneficial for producers and cattle feeders. It would open doors for both, according to a survey participant Stacy McGaslin, a Palo Duro feeder out of Grover, Texas. The survey was conducted last October through this February, and it was the first of its kind. So anyway, this sounds great. That's what we need to do. Genetics quality is way better than to worry about the color. I love my black semi-Angus cross cattle and my Angus cows, and I'd love to have some red ones. And it just, you know, it's my own personal choice. Everybody has their own choice, and a lot of people have a lot of mixed colors out there. But I think the genetics, as I've talked on the show with Jimmy Taylor and Benji and Lori up there at the B&L Red Angus and some other people about quality of beef, genetics is everything, and Jimmy Taylor is a fanatic about that. He is picky, and he's getting it there. There was some cattle brought into the butcher the other day. 66%, we don't know what the final cut is. 64.5 to 66% was the hang weight off of these, and their marbling looks great, and it's all prime. There ain't no choice, no nothing on that. It's all prime. So anyway, that's what's going on there. When I come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. Got some stuff from Cow Calf Corner, and I got a survey on barbecue. So I stopped by, my mistake, I stopped by Hutch's West Side out there this morning. Regular crew was in there, and Alan Potter, the famous Alan Potter, was talking about barbecuing and how to cook a steak. How can you mess a steak up? So I want to talk about that after the Hobart Farm and Garden weather forecast, Long Ranger weather forecast. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
The first time I ever saw a flyer for XIT Auctions, I didn't know how to pronounce it. I called it Exit Auctions, and I said it on air while hosting Tradio, which made it pretty embarrassing. Aubrey Latham had to call up here at the station and make sure I knew how to say it correctly. XIT is moving a lot of property and a lot of farm equipment. For all the info, go to their website, xitauctions.com. xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I just want to listen to that song. I never heard the end of it because I always start talking. 64 degrees, 74% humidity. Winds are out of the northeast, 9 miles an hour. Today, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain, 72 for a high. Tonight, 40% chance of showers, 60 for a low. Tomorrow, 40% chance of thunderstorms, 76 for a high. Tomorrow night, 40% chance of thunderstorms, 63 for a low. Saturday, 86 degrees, slight chance of storms at 20%. Sunday, 88, partly sunny. Monday, 89, and way sunny. No clouds even in the sky. That's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Some of you guys probably already seen this, but a lot of people probably hadn't heard about it, so I'm going to talk about it. But in Amarillo, Texas, the city council has unanimously approved incentives for the producer-owned beef LLC to build a new beef packing facility in the city. The Amarillo Globe News reported Friday that the producer-owned beef has identified 1,108 acres near I-40 as the site for the facility, where the operators expect to be operational by the year 2025. While the Amarillo site has not been chosen yet by the producer-owned beef, Kevin Carter, the CEO of the Amarillo Economic Development Corporation, said the packing facility would create an estimated $650 million in estimated capital improvements and employ 1,600 workers with an estimated $75 million annual payroll. Carter said the project could bring $7 billion in the economic impact over 20 years to Amarillo if chosen. He also said the company was established to address increasing beef packer margins and fix the imbalance of fed cattle production and harvesting capability, according to the Globe News report. The company will create more capacity for beef harvesting, creating a stronger link for ranchers and consumers. Due to the central location of Amarillo to its expansive number of cattle producers in the region, Amarillo is looked upon as a favorable location for the company. And it goes on through here. The city council had approved three agenda items for an incentive for a producer-owned beef LLC to bring its new operation. Under the agreement, the Amarillo EDC would provide producer-owned beef, $8 million for creation of jobs to be paid out over 5 years as they are created. Also, the Amarillo EDC would also convey $610 acres valued at more than $3.1 million to producer-owned beef. And then the tax abatement. You know, there's going to be one of those. It says the agreement would provide an abatement for future taxes on the construction and equipment costs at 100% abatement for 10 years on $650 million estimated cost. That's great news for Amarillo. Anyways, great news for our area, too. They got one going into Missouri, a great big one going up in there into Iowa. So hopefully in the next couple of years, we won't have to be worrying about the big four topic that we're always talking about. So anyway, I haven't talked about the flu, the bird flu, in several weeks. Well, here we go. Nearly 38 million birds in domestic flocks have died in outbreaks of the highly bad to the bone HPAIA from the flu coast to coast since early February, but the USDA data is suggesting the threat is fading. With one day to go in May, this report was from earlier this week, May losses for the month were on track to be the smallest of the year, which is great. A viral disease that spreads best in cold conditions, bird flu typically dissipates with the arrival of consistently warm weather. All the same, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack transferred an additional $400 million to the USDA agency responsible for protecting animal health on Friday. That's last Friday. The transfer doubled to nearly $800 million, the money available for fighting the HPAI and indemnifying owners of commercial flocks. Continuing our nationwide response to the highly bad-to-the-bone flu, influenza is critical to minimizing the impact on our nation's poultry industry, according to the Undersecretary of Agriculture, Jenny Moffitt. And the egg-laying hens, 28.8 million in all, accounted for three of every four losses to the HPAI. And as far as I know, it's still going on till the end of July in Oklahoma that there ain't going to be any chicken trading going on at any of the chicken trading places, selling, trading, exchanging, whatever. That's still in effect. So just because this sounds like it's getting better doesn't mean it's far from over. So you guys don't take that story wrong. I was just repeating it. All right. Where do we want to go? We want to go to the barbecue part. So this morning, I won't repeat all of what Alan Potter said because you guys know that his language is some of the best in Beckham County. Anyway, we're talking about cooking a steak. So Alan's version of cooking a good steak, well, actually it started out, how can you screw up a steak? Well, you can, and the only way I think you can mess it up is overcook it. But anyway, that's how this conversation got started. So Alan's version of cooking his steak is 6 minutes on one side, flip it over, 6 minutes on the other side. There you have it. Get after it. That's what he's saying. Oh, it has lifted. Sorry, somebody fact-checked my deal, but we'll go back to that. But the new data from the Omaha Steaks reveals that the Harris poll that they did, 76% of Americans plan to grill out more during the next 6 months. Americans' original butcher surveyed 2,000 U.S. adults going into the summer season to better understand attitudes and anticipated behaviors towards grilling, cooking, buying, and eating meat. The results found 8 in 10, which is 79% of Americans, enjoy outdoor barbecues with friends and family more than going out to a restaurant. And I gotta agree. Yet, even as they are eager to grill, nearly half, 48% of the Americans, let fresh meat purchases go to waste. Man, that's a lot. That's half. Throwing out raw and fresh meat each month. In fact, Americans commonly waste between $11 and $50 monthly on raw and fresh meat that goes unconsumed. One solution agreed by 8 and 10, 78% of Americans, is to stock their freezers with more high-quality beef. It says meat, but I'll put it in there as beef. Flash frozen quality meat ensures you're ready for on-the-go summers with the kids and any size guest list barbecues with friends and family. Simply quick thaw only the meat you need to reduce or eliminate the waste. That coming from Omaha State's executive chef, David Rose. It's a simple solution. Your favorite restaurants and chef, they use it, and the home cooks can benefit from this too. Dinner's made simple. 6 in 10, 62% of Americans don't know what they're having for dinner. 7 in 10 say they let their cravings decide what they'll eat. Yet 8 in 10, 78% agree a well-stocked freezer of meat will help them be prepared for what's decided for dinner. Not only are consumers wasting money when they throw out fresh meats, but they are also wasting time spent at the grocery stores picking out the perfect at-the-time meat. If their favorite cuts are available, further by the time more people realize their meat is going bad, it's too late to freeze, and it's used for later use because the peak freshness window recommended has expired. 6 in 10 Americans agree high-quality meat, flash frozen, is better than fresh meat that's been sitting out in the supermarkets. So I don't know about that. But anyway, some of the other key findings and attitudes include, and I've been trying to read through here to see if I could find something Alan Potter said, but I hadn't found in. Stay in and grill. Most Americans cook dinner at home 4 to 5 nights per week. And 70% of Americans are looking forward to hosting more outdoor barbecues this summer. Experimenting on the grills. 7 in 10 Americans have a difficulty choosing meat, with most struggling to decide what type of meat they are in the mood to eat. Nearly as many, 66%, plan to grill different foods more this summer than in the past, and 63% of the survey respondents agree that they enjoy experimenting with the latest grilling trends. I don't know if you guys ever been in the Ace Hardware here in Elk City, but you go in there, and right there on your left when you walk in, there's more choices of grills, tools, temperature gauges, pellets, chunks of wood. They got it going on. So it is very popular in Western Oklahoma. Nothing needs to go to waste. Nearly 6 in 10, that's 59% of Americans, want to reduce the amount of fresh meat they waste due to spoilage. And 58% are interested in buying more high-quality frozen meat to reduce meat waste. Well, guess what? I know some people that have fresh meat. Taylor Ranch, you can buy it by the quarter, half, three-quarters, one, two, three, however many you want. And the Tucker Family Meat out there in Sweetwater, they got it going on. Route 66 there with the Brandon Hickey and those guys up north of town, Hickey Meat, they got that going on the Hickey Ranch, however you want to say that. But y'all guys know who I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about the guy that owns the Elk City Livestock Market Auction. I'm talking about, I don't even know if they're kin, but anyway, they got the same name. But Brandon Hickey, they're Doug Hickey's son there north of Sayre, over there to the west where you see the white fence. They've got meat there. You can buy that. There's you got all kinds of people around our listening area that you can buy meat from and get it butchered and get it frozen. And you know what you get. And I'll guarantee you 99 out of 10 of the beefs you buy in Western Oklahoma is prime. I'm not talking choice, prime. So there you have it. You can get that going on. Let's see. We got some text messages coming on. And here we go. 3.5 inches. Of rain total in southern Kiowa County in the Cooperton area. So they got 3.5 inches down there. Hadn't heard from anybody in the Mangum Granite area. Also, yes, and you can get, let's go back to the meat deal. You can get lots of meat right here in Elk City at the George Creek Market. That's down there inside the SEI Agritech deal. They've got great meat. Well, one of my favorite people from Sayre texts me, the Oklahoma ban was lifted on the poultry exhibits and public sales and swap meat. So I guess it's been lifted. So there's what you have on that deal. thank you, sir, for listening. I should have checked up on that before I talked about it, but I did say I hadn't checked it lately, so I was being safe by telling you not to go over to your neighbor and trade a hen for a rooster. How's that? Anyway, we're about to run out of time, and I don't think I got any. Let's check the weather. Let's check the radar real quick, see what's going on with it. And there's still rain showers out there. I'm trying to get to that one if it'll let me. Looks like it's there's a front or a line of them from Duncan through Chickasha up into Watonga and up in there west of Enid going on. There's a shower southwest of Elk City, and looks like there's showers down there to the northeast of Altus. So anyway, you guys have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.